Let's quickly review some of the deficits I've discovered in my practice. This is by no means a definitive list. There are more deficits that exist, but let's just go over eight of the major ones that I've come across. Number one is being able to read facial, vocal, and gestural cues. There are some people who are not able to do this, never have been able to do this. Some of these people have problems in the facial recognition part of the brain, where they don't look to the eyes actually for cues. They look more at the mouth. And they have a hard time picking up some basic and sometimes nuanced vocal changes that suggest an emotion, that suggest a change of feeling or change of state. And sometimes they misread gestural cues. This is something that repeats over and over again, and it's not dependent on a certain situation or a certain state of mind. This is something that has been going on forever. And with all of these deficits, I want to say they all refer to something that have existed for a very, very, very long time. It's not something that just happened last week or last year. That's a whole other topic we can't get to here. But deficits are something that exist really from the beginning. Never could do this. Number two is theory of mind. I've mentioned this before, theory of mind. It's the ability to put oneself in another's shoes. This is not a choiceful thing. It's not something that I don't do because I don't want to do that. I can't do it. And one of the things that's common, that's a real tell about poor theory of mind, is a lack of curiosity about the self. And along with that, a lack of curiosity about you. Things are just sort of accepted as is. And this person likely can't really do a diary, because that would require self-reflection of some kind. Now, this does not mean that the person is stupid. A lot of very bright, intelligent, extremely successful people out there lacking a theory of mind. But it comes up in this inability to put oneself in the other person's shoes. Number three, alexithymia. Alexithymia is the inability to read emotion in oneself. I don't know what's going on in my body. I can't tell you what I'm feeling. I don't have words for it. A lot of people have this problem. And this often goes back to childhood, where nobody in the family really gave words to feelings at all. Number four, visual detail. I don't see visual detail. So if you are my spouse and you come and you ask me how you look, and I say, oh, you look beautiful. And you say, yeah, but what do you think of the changes I made tonight? And I say, beautiful, really beautiful. Okay, but I just put these earrings on and I just changed my hair. What do you think of that? And I'll say, I say, you're really beautiful. Now, if that goes on a lot, that might mean that I don't pay attention to visual detail. And one of the ways I can find this out in the room with somebody is I ask one partner to look at the other partner's eyes and to be as a painter. Imagine you're a painter and you're going to paint your partner's eyes on a canvas. Describe your partner's eyes. And the way this shows up is that person who has poor visual detail will simply say, well, her eyes are round, brown, and then kind of look befuddled for a little bit, and then repeat, well, they're round, and they're brown. In other words, that's all that person really will say, because that's all they see. They don't see any other detail. They don't pay attention to the other detail. The reason visual detail is important, because it translates to other things like appreciating art and appreciating music and storylines that have complexity to them and so on. Again, has nothing to do with intelligence. A lot of very successful, great people out there that lack this ability and causes problems in relationships. There's a deficit there. Number five, memory. Now, this is a really tricky one, because everyone will have memory problems at some point, some of us earlier than later. But lots of things can cause memory problems. Lack of sleep, medications, being ill, depressed, anxiety will cause memory problems, and so on. But there are some people who are actually having serious memory problems, and it's going to be in the short-term memory area probably. That's a hard one to pick out because often people may have memory problems for a lot of reasons, because they're anxious when their partner asks them questions, or they don't pay attention, they're auto-regulating all the time, or they're sleepy. So you have to be very careful with this area here of memory problems. But for most of us after age 50, we're going to start to have problems with names and such. That's just the way it goes with the aging brain. Number 6, affect blindness. This is my inability to see certain emotions in you, on your face. I may not be able to see total emotion, like I don't see sadness at all, but it's more likely going to be shades of sadness, shades of anger, shades of happiness. I don't see those. I miss those. I didn't see them in my childhood. There's something missing where I cannot find that. And you may feel that I need you to be very angry before I realize you're angry, or very sad before I realize you're sad. Number 7, prosody. Prosody refers to the tone of voice. So if I look at a puppy, I'm likely to start to go, oh, what a cute little puppy. It's such a cute puppy. Or if I see a baby, what a cute baby. That's such a cute baby. That's using prosody. Now, there are some people who cannot do that. And people who cannot do that never could. And I don't want to do it for you because it might be irritating to hear in your headphones or speakers. But basically, it's going to be monotone, sometimes louder than the average person, and it's not going to have that kind of musical sound to it. This can be very grating. And also when it comes to interactive regulation or calming each other down, the person who has problems in this area is not going to be very good at that, because we rely very much on the voice, on prosody, as a way to keep us within the window of tolerance. The last one, number 8, thin or thick boundaries. Now, thin boundaries means that the person feels everything. They feel everyone's pain. This would be deep empathy. Very good thing, except that's a little too much. And people with very thin boundaries tend to get something called affect contagion. They catch what the other person has. And the problem with that is that they get sick. Somebody who is around a lot of depressed people become depressed. Somebody who's around people who are very angry start to feel angry. And so this problem of affect contagion comes from feeling too much. And that actually happens in the brain. The person is wired to feel a lot of empathy, deep empathy. A lot of these people go into my field, and this problem of affect contagion has to be trained out of them. Otherwise, they would never stick with the job. They'd burn out. People with thick boundaries doesn't mean that they don't have empathy, that they don't care. They're just not as affected by other people's pain. They're not as affected by their own pain. They can deal with things that are painful without taking them home, without getting affect contagion. And that's the difference between those. So I give you these 8 just as an example. And the danger of knowing these things is that you may mistake these for other problems that really have nothing to do with deficits, or you may diagnose your partner inappropriately as having one of these and they don't, or you may think your partner has one of these things and it's actually you that has them. Very common for me to find out in my practice. The one who says the other person has a problem reading faces actually has the problem reading faces. And so use these with care and take them with a grain of salt.